Hare Krishna. I'm in Pitch. I just came back from the morning program and giving class on Satan Prasanga Shloka. Just before I do puja, I wanted to send this podcast out. I'll be here for the next 3 days and from here out on Padyatra. I don't know how easy it'll be to send podcasts since I have to send it over the telephone. Usually that takes up to hours. Anyway, let's hope for the best today. I'll answer some of the questions that some of the devotees have sent in. Here's one from Balaram Das on Sankirtan. And he says in third canto purport, says, Lord Krishna's father Vasudeva had 16 wives, and one of them named Puravi or Rohini, the mother of Baladev, was a sister of Bidura. Question, how is that she was a sister of Bidura? Well, I'm sorry, without looking at a family tree, I'm not able to answer that. However, our Bhakti College does have a family tree of all of Krishna's direct family members, relatives, and if you look it up on there, you'll find one of two things, that Rohini was either a direct sister of Bidura, which doesn't sound like that's right, or that he was related to her. And in Vedic culture, even Vaishnav culture, even Indian culture, sisters-in-law are also called sisters, or ladies who are in a close family relationship are also known as sisters. And that's how you'll find Vidura and Rohini are related to each other in this text. Krishnananda Prabhu in Moscow is asking whether I'll participate in the Black Sea Festival from the 21st to the 30th of September. And the answer to that, Krishnananda Prabhu, is no. I sent that information also to Mahadev because at that time I'll be in Canada visiting my mother. So please don't depend on me to go there, much as I would like to. And Murli Manohar in Soho Street asks the following question. Say something on the accepting responsibility in general and specifically in regards to being in a position of temple president, vice president, department head within ISKCON. What are expectations, dangers, etc.? Well, what immediately comes to mind is Srila Prabhupada's guidelines that devotees should accept responsibility in order to help spread the Krishna consciousness movement, and that when one is given responsibility, then one should understand that he's being recognized by Krishna. In other words, it's not an ordinary thing to get service, and to get large amounts of service means that one has acquired Krishna's faith and trust. Having then gained Krishna's faith and trust to some extent, devotees must live up to the expectations of that service. In other words, what is the service description that one has to do? What is one expected to do in a responsible post? Usually it means setting the right example, giving proper guidance to others, being expert in some particular type of service. These things, if one does not know, then one should learn them. One should learn how to care for others. This is ultimately the main responsibility that everyone has, even if he has no responsibility over others, but we all have responsibility to others. And our responsibility to others is to show love and affection, Priti Purvakam, and encourage others on the path of devotional service. Particularly, that's the responsibility of the presidents, GBCs, and so on. And we need to also set the proper example. Yad yada acharati shishtas. Parents know that without setting the example for their children, they can't really raise them properly. It's more important what example children see than what they hear. They may hear so much good advice, but if they don't see what they hear, then they won't follow. And the same is true for all of us, because ultimately we are all children. Therefore, everyone has an obligation to set the right example for others to follow. And for devotees, first example is spiritual example. Rising early in the morning, attending the morning program, chanting Hare Krishna, regularly reading scripture, quoting and guiding others on the basis of what Srila Prabhupada, spiritual masters, senior Vaishnavas, and so on have said. And then finally, one needs to learn how to be expert in some particular service. If I'm a head pujari, then I should really learn and know everything about the worship of the deity, the dressing of the deity, cooking, so that I can actually supervise those who are under me up to a standard that they're doing their service properly, and that the best possible result is offered to the Lord as a consequence of my leadership, the service of others. Therefore, we should be responsible authorities. That means that we should recognize that getting responsibility has the responsibility of becoming qualified responsibility, responsible persons. Persons who are keen to know how to fulfill their duties, who inspire others to do so, and who do so in a loving way. As far as dangers are concerned, everything has danger. Srila Prabhupada, for instance, said to the GBC that because you have a large responsibility, therefore, when you do something right, you get a lot of mercy and you advance quickly. On the other hand, when you do something wrong, you get a much greater punishment. So that's also the danger. The danger is also that devotees in position of responsibility are under the magnifying glass, and therefore others are watching them to see when they are doing something wrong or right. And unfortunately, in this day and age, people tend to look for what people are doing wrong rather than what people are doing right. A lot can be said, but if you want to know more, then you should study Srila Prabhupada's books with a view to finding out of what is the responsibility expected of leaders, and why and when and how devotees should accept responsibility. And another letter here from Balaram Das. Actually, Balaram asks a lot of questions, which is nice, but please, others ask more. I don't want to just answer his questions. What's the dividing line between the suppression of desires and controlling the senses? In one sense, these two things are not equatable. Controlling the senses means whether we have desire or not, senses should be controlled, which means that one must live a regulated life. That regulated life is prescribed for both liberated souls as well as for those who are not liberated. In controlling our senses, we obviously do not give in to our material desires, but rather we act in such a way which is favorable for Krishna's desire. And we practice Krishna consciousness so that the heart becomes freed from those desires which are not favorable to the service of the Lord. So in that sense, we suppress desires. There's another sense in which devotees use this term, suppressing desires, and that is that in our conditioned state, in order to come to the liberated state, we need to sometimes make a compromise between what's good for Krishna and what's good for us. And sometimes if we cannot immediately do what's good for Krishna, then we try to do that which we also like, which is good for us, but in a way which directs us towards acting only for Krishna's pleasure. In other words, we fulfill our own desires, but in a Krishna-conscious way. Example of that, for instance, is the controlling of sex life. Ultimately, we should give up sex life altogether. But in the process of giving up sex life needs to be controlled. If a brahmachari can restrain the urges for sex, he need not get married. However, if he's artificially suppressing, and artificial suppression means that the suppression of desires causes him so much mental agitation that he cannot properly serve Krishna, which means that he will not be able to be purified, because it is by the service of chanting, hearing, and other activities that the heart becomes free from the desire, then that becomes a artificial suppression of desires. Therefore, the recommendation is better that that person then enter into the Grihastha ashram, where he can associate with a member of the opposite sex, he or she, goes for both, and being peaceful by that association and regulating the senses and living a religious household life, religious sex life, which is very much controlled, then one can peacefully chant, hear, and serve. The heart naturally becomes purified, and since the senses are regulated and one does not incur any further sensual impetus through illicit activities or sinful activities, then gradually one becomes free from the sex desire altogether. So this is the other sense in which suppression of desires should be understood. Therefore, we keep our desires under control under all circumstances, but when keeping desires under control becomes an obstacle to our spiritual life, then we have to find that spiritual path which allows vent for our desires in a controlled way, so that it ultimately leads us to freedom from them. And, well, this is an abbreviated question, and this was also from Balaram. He says he wants to know about me. What did I do before I preached in Hungary? There's an article on dandavat.com. Which you can look up about that, about how I came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And he says, nice to hear philosophy, but I'd like to hear how I feel about things. Well, but to talk about how a person feels about things, he has to speak about it when he's feeling it. He can't just talk about it. And if devotees ask questions that are in relationship to how I experience things or feel things, which I feel won't be necessarily artificial, if I talk about them, then I'd be happy to answer that. I'm not just asking for philosophical questions, but practical questions, as Murli Manohar's was, as well as personal questions, at least personal questions within certain limits. I'll let you know when the limits are when you ask them. All right, and on concluding, just remind everyone that tomorrow is Lokanath Goswami's disappearance day in the courtyard of Radha Gokulananda temple in Vrindavan, almost opposite the one of the residences of Srila Prabhupada, not far away from Keshigat. Is the samadhi of Lokanath Goswami, who was one of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intimate associates. Although even while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the Grihastha ashram, he was sent by the Lord to Vrindavan. He was one of the first, if not the first, devotees to reside in Vrindavan. And of course we know him because he is the spiritual master of Narottam Das Thakur. And although he was a great Paramahansa, he took a vow never to accept a disciple. And Narottam Das Thakur, by his wonderful devotion to Lokanath Goswami, induced him to break that vow and give him diksha. Thus the indication is that in the ultimate issue for preaching and spreading Krishna consciousness, all vows, personal vows, especially one of comfort, personal comfort, that I won't be troubled by the difficulties of accepting disciples, can be sacrificed. All right, everyone. See you tomorrow. I hope everyone is well, chanting Hare Krishna happily and in ecstasy, and that you've all read Srila Prabhupada's books today and not neglected your foremost of duties. Hare Krishna.